You clicked on to the Wedding Community Podcast. My name is Travis Eberling, and I have been showing up to people's weddings with my camera since 2011. Because of my many years of doing this, I wanted to be able to not only share my knowledge and experience I have in the wedding industry, but also the knowledge of others that I know. And so by using this podcast, I hope that it will help educate you with your business and help you elevate your business. Really, at the end of the day, I want to see all businesses in the wedding industry be able to grow and elevate. And whether it's a DJ, florist, wedding planner, photographer, videographer, whatever, you know, all the other vendors that are out there that I might not have listed, I hope that you can get something out of this. So for this week's episode, I have a very unique guest. I won't spoil anything, but let's just say this should be a very fun and unique topic. Without further ado, let's hop over to the episode. Welcome back to the Wedding Community Podcast. Today, I am joined by Eddie Rice. Welcome to the podcast, Eddie.
Thanks, Travis. It's wonderful to be here.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate you being here. So a little bit about Eddie. Eddie is a speechwriter and author. He has over 10 years of experience. And he's worked with some great business owners, CEOs, authors, and kind of just everyone in between. Eddie, can you explain a little more to the audience exactly what that means when I say speechwriter?
Of course. So people come to me with a variety of needs of just of speeches that they have to give in their life, whether it's a retirement toast, a wedding toast, a TEDx talk, a keynote speech, a business speech for a luncheon where they have to introduce themselves. Just small and large speeches, and I help them put those ideas together into a coherent format. And I help them deliver the message and rehearse it and put everything together from start to finish.
Yeah, I like that a lot because we don't always think about that. You know, like I know a lot of times people, they're going into something and they have to give a presentation at their work or, you know, even on a larger stage like a TED Talk or maybe somewhere in the middle where it's like a wedding and it's in front of 100, 200, 300 people. And they do all this preparation, but then they don't realize that they're not like executing it properly. So like they have all this information they want to share about the groom or the bride or whatever, or the, you know, whatever topic it is, but then they just don't execute it well. So essentially that's kind of your role, right? You're helping them craft something that comes across correctly.
Exactly.
Awesome. So now, Eddie, you had reached out to me via email asking to be a guest, and it caught my attention because it was a very unique topic. It was something that wasn't even on my radar. Like I have this list of like topics I would like to hit, and like I never even thought of like speeches and speech writing and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? This could actually be a really cool topic. And when you think of a wedding day, it actually is comprised of a lot of speeches through the day. You know, you have the obvious, like the reception and, you know, giving the best man speech, maid of honor speech, dad probably will give a speech, the couple might. But then even throughout the rest of the day, you have the officiant. Essentially, he's giving a speech or he or she is giving a speech. Sometimes our couples will write letters to each other. So if they're reading those out loud, they're kind of reading a speech from their significant other. And so I was really thinking about like, well, there's actually a lot of speeches through the day. And so this is a really important topic, I think, for other wedding businesses owners to kind of have more knowledge on. And so, you know, for myself, I have had work with many bad speeches, you know, doing video. I'm at the mercy of that in the editing room because if they, you know, the planner, they might hear a bad speech, they'll make fun of it and they'll move on. I'm stuck with that. So I have to use that. So for me to be able to help educate my clients on how to give a bigger, better speech is really nice. So I guess kind of just like starting out from there, I would love to kind of hear like your, like just some of the general, you know, advice you have on giving better speeches. And so the first thing that kind of comes to my mind is like length. So, you know, we're talking about a wedding speech from like a best man or something like that. Like, what do you think is the right kind of length for the speech?
I would say your target should probably be around 5 minutes in length, no longer than 7 and maybe no shorter than 3. I think those are some good guardrails to keep yourself on, mainly because, as you said, the wedding day is full of speeches from so many different people. You don't want to have that 40-minute toast that goes on for forever and you block out all of the other speakers that are supposed to speak on that day. And instead, it's so much easier to prepare a 5-minute speech, get up there, get it done and sit down than worrying about some sort of long monologue that you'd have to give.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And, you know, what I've actually kind of found is sometimes the speech gets longer because they're nervous and they're stuttering and then they go down a rabbit hole and stuff. So like, I guess to make sure that doesn't happen, what are some ways that you recommend people get over their nerves that they might have?
I think with nerves, it really comes down to just how prepared you are in advance. I think in what you're definitely referring to is when people kind of run out of material and they decide they're going to start making stuff up on the spot, or they have no real good way to end the speech. So if you are well prepared ahead of time with the words that you want to say, it's going to be a lot easier for you to end your speech at a particular point. And then second, just having a really good structure to the speech is going to help it. Do you have an opening where you introduce yourself? Are you telling great stories in the speech? And do you have a plan to end it with a quick 1 to 2 line cheers that everyone can join in on? Those are just some questions that I have that will help people start to alleviate some of the fears they have with public speaking and putting their speech together.
I want to focus in on structure. You were talking about that, and I would love to just hear your thoughts on that a little bit more. Like, when you say structure, like, what in your mind, like, what's like the perfect, you know, speech from, like, let's take the father of the bride, for example. Like, if he's delivering a 5-minute speech, what does that structure look like for him?
Sure. Here's what it would look like from my point of view or vantage point. It would be first the person starting with introducing themselves, telling them how they're related to the person they're toasting, because it's very possible that half the audience doesn't know who you are. Then telling just one great story that honors the person that you're toasting. And this could be a story that's your favorite one to tell, a funny moment, a memorable moment when they were truly there for you, when they truly impressed you, just one great story that honors them. Then address each member of the wedding couple, give a heartfelt message to each one, end with some advice, and then have everyone raise their glass, have a quote, and end with cheers, and you've got a speech.
Cool. I'm curious your thoughts on this. I didn't actually prep you on this one either, but I'm really interested now that we're trying to talk about this, because I was thinking like Father of the Bride, and I've had a lot of them who like try to be comedians during that time. Okay. So what are your thoughts on like cracking jokes? Like, is it something you should do? Is it something you shouldn't do? Like, what do you think?
So I love humor in speeches as long as it's not forced. And mm-hmm. I think that there's two ways you can go about adding humor to your speech. One, you find it in the stories that you tell and in the words that you say. You kind of let it come out naturally. And then there's the other type, which is the forced humor, which is when you're on the internet the night before the wedding, Googling wedding one-liners or wedding jokes to add into your speech, thinking it's going to spice things up. That to me almost never works. People have heard the jokes before, or they come off as irreverent, and it just doesn't flow. And I wish it would, but it doesn't. And so I would definitely warn people from starting with a joke and instead not trying to force the humor, but allowing it to just come out naturally in the stories that you tell and the words that you say.
Yeah, it's you're making me think of something where, you know, I go to so many weddings, and same with many other wedding business owners. So I can see them coming a mile away when it's like one of those like canned, you know, like it'll be something like, okay, now, you know, groom, put your hand on top of the bride, you know, and then he'll be like, oh, this is the last time you'll have the upper hand or something. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I've heard that like 1,000 times. Maybe it was funny the first wedding I heard it at, but yeah, not so funny anymore because you could tell it's not genuine. They just went and Googled it. Now, with that said, I did have one where the best man was in Google Ads and like SEO. And so he referenced Google and these jokes, but he turned it into his joke, which actually ended up being really funny. And he was kind of making fun of people going to look for these jokes in his speech. So he kind of spun it around and made it work. But otherwise, yeah, it's always cringy. Like, of course, you're going to get some people to laugh because they've never heard it. But, you know, now they're going to go to another wedding and they're going to hear that joke again. And it's not going to be funny. And, you know, you run the risk of that happening. So
very much.
Awesome. What about inside jokes? What are your thoughts on those?
Those are really hard to pull off as well, because one, if you tell them, there's only going to be a few people in the audience that are going to get them. And then two, if you're trying to explain them, I mean, once you're already trying to explain a joke in a speech, you're going to take up so much time and it becomes funny. I've never heard anyone try to explain a joke to me and then I start laughing for whatever reason. That just does not happen. So I think the inside jokes, I would keep those to your private conversations or the bachelor or bachelorette night, and just, you know, let the ceremony be about general stories that are more universal that everyone can relate to. Those are the better things to tell, rather than making that inside joke where only a few people are going to laugh and everyone else is just going to be looking around kind of bewildered as to what is so funny about like paper plates or chicken or whatever the punchline is.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what about body language while they're up there?
Right. You want to be relaxed. You want to have something to do with your hands. And I know this is, I'm a public speaker as well, as in addition to being a speechwriter. And I'm always like, what am I going to do with my hands? Just gesture naturally with your hands. And I mean, luckily one of them may have the microphone in it, whereas with the other one, you can just let it be at your side naturally. I wouldn't put your hand in your pockets. It looks very weird when you do that. It's going to mess up some of the photographs that wedding photographers might take. But overall with the body language, you just want to appear relaxed and confident and let your body do the rest and gesture naturally when it's appropriate, and your body should take care of the rest.
Awesome. Awesome. And so I think that's all great for a reception, and something I'll throw out there too for myself doing video, you know, like one thing that kind of drives me crazy is a lot of times they're holding the microphone like super, super low, and it's like not even helping, you know, at that point. Like the DJ's cranking it as loud as he can and you get that hiss. So that's even something in myself I try to tell all my couples to let them know, like, hey, if you're speaking with a microphone, hold it up nice and close here, and it just kind of looks better. Or even better, if the DJ has a mic stand, that's awesome too, because then, you know, you have the mic stand, you don't even have to hold anything. And then so if they are someone who kind of talks with their hands and it's just a very natural look when they talk with their hands, now their hands are freed up and they don't have to worry about, is the mic close enough? Is it too low? Is it too high? And that always helps out a lot.
Agreed.
Awesome. So we talked about the reception a lot. The ceremony also includes a lot of speaking. You know, sometimes people do readings, the couples might do personal vows. And then of course you have the, I almost kind of call like the core of where all the dialogue comes from in the ceremony, which is the officiant. So I was wondering if you have any advice that you would give for officiants when it comes time to come up with a script and, you know, putting together essentially the wedding ceremony for the couple.
That's an interesting one. I haven't worked with too many officiants, but I do have some advice that could definitely apply to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I think one, you have to remember that it's not your day, it's the couple's day. And I think too often when I've been at weddings, I've seen officiants do a very good job of remembering that it's the couple's day, and they put the emphasis on the couple and their journey together. Whereas other times I've had officiants make it all about themselves, and they start giving what's almost like an impromptu sermon, and they are going on about their own ideas about marriage, obviously trying to give advice, but they're doing it in a way that makes them the center of the show rather than the couple. So I think you have to find that balance between, yes, these are your words, you're here to celebrate that day, but it's also the couple's day to celebrate. And that's where your focus needs to be. It's not on you and being the star of the show as a result.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, let's say you're a wedding business owner, whether maybe you're a DJ and you're talking to the couple about the speech timeline or the planner, or, you know, especially like for myself, the videographer, where the speeches are super important. How would you kind of prompt this conversation, would you say, without like maybe offending someone? Cause I could see someone being like, oh, well, you know, we don't want you to necessarily get involved with like our speeches and stuff. Like, what's like the best way to kind of bring this topic up, would you say?
Oh, that's a really good question. I love it. Because you got to walk that fine line of, you know, it's the couple's day versus, you know, you trying to at least, you know, bring some structure and organization to things. I think you come at it with mutual goals. The idea that you want this day to be successful, so do they. And that means giving time and making time for all of the important moments of the evening of the wedding. And I think if you come at it that way, where you have this common goal of saying, look, we know that there are people that need to give speeches, but then there's also the cake cutting, there's the bouquet toss, there's the dancing, there's the food, and making it a kind of a team effort to say, look, I want to help you keep this whole thing on track. what can we do together to make sure everyone sticks to their time limits and their schedule for the evening? So I think approaching it with mutual and shared goals is going to be one way to keep everything on track.
Awesome. So I would love to learn a little bit more about your process, because I think that could help, you know, others who maybe, whether it is, you know, maybe someone is tuning in that they're going to be giving a speech, or they have people they know who are going to be giving speeches, or maybe they're even doing a speech that's education. You know, they're going to be standing in front of a stage and teaching others about their craft or what they know from their own business. What does your process look like? So, like, let's say I'm a client, I come to you and I'm about to give this presentation in front of people. How do you kind of come alongside them and help them out?
So we first start with a brainstorming questionnaire where I ask you a lot of questions. And the idea here is not to answer every single question with like pages and pages, but it's to find like the 3 to 5 questions that start to spark the best ideas for the speech that you're going to give. And when people work with me, I have a set of questions for weddings, a set of questions for TEDx talks, obviously, you know, two very different venues. And once I send those questions over to you in a brainstorming document, you answer them on paper or Google Docs, and we then get on a phone call and talk through the answers to those questions. And that allows me to hear your voice, your ideas, how you put things together in your own speech. From that, you know, mass of brainstorming ideas, we then create an outline and a structure that I then ask for your approval on. And it's a very much an iterative process. So we start with ideas, we get to an outline and structure. And then from there, I create a first draft based on all of that work that we've done, send it to you for your review, get feedback on that. We go back and forth on that draft, usually up to 3 times. And then at the end of it, we've got a speech. So it's truly a partnership and a collaboration together. It's not just me writing solitarily and giving you a speech at the end of the process. We're working together on it to make it as best as it can be.
Awesome. I love it. I'm curious, Eddie, do you ever do any kind of script writing work for like companies who maybe have a lot of sales, or like they have to do a lot of client calls? Have you ever worked with someone to help them with that?
No, not too much. I don't really get involved in like sales scripts or anything like that too often. Instead, it's really just individuals coming to me because they've got an important speech to make. I never really branched out and said, hey, maybe we can apply this to sales scripts as well. It'd be a very interesting endeavor. I'd love to, you know, think through that at some point. Yeah. But yeah, this is not something that I've done necessarily.
Yeah, because I could see a lot of these, like, you know, perks and benefits you get from this translating to that really well too, because in a way, you know, when you're talking to a couple for the first time, you know, you're not just wanting to try to give them facts, you're wanting to try to give them, you know, a little bit of story and reason, and you know, you don't want to just be like, here's information, you know, you want to make it interesting. And so I think a lot of these things could translate really well, which is really cool. So
thank you.
So one thing I wanted to touch on before we do end up wrapping up here, Eddie, is I know you just released a book like really soon. Like when we're recording this, it was just like yesterday, basically. So I would love for you to share a little bit behind that, like why you decided you wanted to do that, and just kind of learn a little bit more about what the process was like putting that together.
Yeah, so it really grew out of a lot of the questions my clients would ask me over and over again when it came to toast writing and speech writing. And I said to myself, you know, this would make for a great book, or at least I thought it would. And this was about 3 years ago. And right before COVID hit, I had done the first draft of it. But then I had to put the whole project on pause because people weren't giving speeches once everyone went into lockdown. Once restrictions started to lift and I saw that there was kind of light at the end of the tunnel, I said this book could still be really helpful when people start to get back to giving toasts at weddings and at other events around the country and around the world. So I put it together as a way to just help anyone out who needed help writing a toast. I wanted to take my process and, you know, typically it's, you know, a few $100 to work with me. And I boiled it down to a book where, you know, it's a few bucks to buy it. And you can get the process, you know, at a much cheaper rate than if you wanted to work with me, which is perfectly fine to do. So I wanted to help people out who could access my services at any price point. And that's where the book was born out of.
Awesome. And where's the best place for people to be able to find your book?
Any ebook retailer online, it should be there. So obviously the big one is Amazon. You can find it there in ebook and print form. But if you're looking at Barnes and Noble, Apple Books, Kobo, wherever the other platforms are, it should be on there with ebook, print, and then in a few weeks there will be an audiobook as well.
Awesome. This is probably like kind of a hard one to answer because I'm sure like a lot of the book you probably love because it's your process, it's what you do. But is there like one chapter in particular that you just love and that you would love to highlight?
I really loved actually just the second half of the book. I know that's kind of cheating on the answer because it's not a specific chapter, but the book is divided into two parts. One is my process, and then the second part are actual speeches that I got from other people to include in the book. And I really just love the speeches that I was able to include because they include wedding toasts, they include retirements, promotions, awards, commemoration speeches, birthdays, anniversaries, anything that you could think of, it's included in there. And some of the speeches I was able to get were just phenomenal in terms of their content. And I just love being able to go back and read them. They're not kind of the stodgy speeches that you get in speech anthologies, where it's a lot of like heads of state giving speeches. And those can be great, but at the same time, you know, a toast is not a policy-laden speech. So I loved being able to bring, you know, true toasts into the world that people could use as reference in giving their speech.
Awesome. What's kind of like a final last, piece of advice you would have? Like let's say I'm about to give a speech, whether it's in front of a large crowd or it is at a wedding, or I'm just trying to better educate myself so I can give information to those that I work with that have to give a speech. What's like kind of one last final tip that you would love to give?
When it comes to giving a toast, honor the person and honor the event. If you can do those two things with your toast and any speech for that matter, you're going to have a solid presentation to give. And so, what I mean by that is honoring the person could just mean honoring the audience that you're in front of, honoring their questions and their concerns, what they have. But it could also mean if you're toasting someone, making sure that you tell the right stories that are not embarrassing, but are instead uplifting. And then honoring the event, it's keeping sure, making sure that you stay within your time limits. But then you also talk about the importance of that day. With a toast, when you're talking about the importance of marriage and giving advice, that's how you can honor the event. So honor the person, honor the event. If you do those two things with your toast, you're going to go a long way.
So what you're saying is it should not be a roast. If you're okay, awesome. That has been a common theme last year. I don't know. Everyone's always like, "Oh, this might turn into a roast," and it's like that's not necessarily a good thing. So, awesome, awesome. So Eddie, where can the listeners find you if they want to check you out?
Sure. They can go to ricespeechwriting.com. That's RICE, just like the food, followed by the word speechwriting.com. And you'll find my website. I've got a contact form there. And then you can also download the first chapter of my book as well if you want to check it out ahead of time.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to join me, Eddie. I appreciate your time. And like he was saying, definitely go check out his book. It's called Toast: Short Speeches, Big Impact. I got the title right, right? Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, definitely go check that out. Hot and fresh off the presses. Just got the Amazon yesterday while we're recording this. By the time I post, it'll be out for a little while. But definitely go check that out. Check out what he's doing. And if you're planning a speech sometime soon, definitely reach out to him and he'll be able to help you out. Eddie, thank you for your time. I appreciate you being here.
I appreciate it, Travis. Thank you so much. It was a wonderful conversation.
Yep, you're welcome. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.